We've been going through on Wednesday evenings, again, as you know, looking at why we are not. I'm often asked, as I said before, what do you believe and why do you believe it? And I will say, well, how much time do you have? Because it's going to take me a little bit, but try to cut to the chase with people on what we believe and what we don't believe. And we were going through looking at these, what we would call maybe denominations or other religious belief systems. And I've tried to cover the ones that are kind of hit a little closer to home for us. I said before, we know why we're not Muslim. We know why we're not Hindu. What hits a little bit closer to home, though, is some of these that we've covered already. And they often will say, or I've heard before, aren't you all you Christians the same? Don't you all believe the same? And I say, well, a matter of fact, I'm glad you said that, because no, we don't. And let me tell you why. Now, notice, tonight we're moving into what is called the Charismatic or Pentecostal. Now, they're two different, but they are very similar. Charismatic Pentecostal movement. Notice the title there, Try the Spirits. Now, I have that because of 1 John chapter 4. And there he says, Beloved, now, beloved, he's writing to the church. Remember that. Believe not every spirit, lowercase s, but try the spirits, plural, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Now, did you catch that? False prophets go out, empowered by not the capital S spirit, like we're supposed to be, lowercase. Okay? Another spirit. Hereby, verse 2, know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh, notice this, is not of God. Underline that. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, even now already is in the world. Okay, we'll stop there for a minute. But we see here, John is addressing the church and he's saying, be careful, be aware. Now, let me just clarify again. A lot of people believe in ghosts and other things like that. Okay. Biblically, though, we understand this. There is the Holy Spirit. I'm talking about the spiritual realm of the world. And the only thing opposite of that is satanic things. Okay. Demons, imps, gnomes, and other things like that. They come from a demonic background. But anyways, there's demons, fallen angels, demons, Satan, and on the other side is the Holy Spirit. Okay, that's about it. So people to come up and say there's all these reincarnated spirits and all these things, and grandma came up back and she's haunting the house and things of that nature. Those people of the ghost hunters and other things, they're playing with demons and demonic things. Now, just suffice to say all of that is that tonight we're going to look at this movement of the charismatic and Pentecostals. Now, I had to split this up in two messages, or we would be here till about 3 hours, but that would be okay with some of you, amen? No, nobody? We have pillows and fresh blankets in the back, but no. But so I split it up, and we're going to look at tonight, notice this in our notes, many things are being done under the guise of Christianity, right? These are not authored by the Holy Spirit. Yet, people are claiming that God is working in their midst, performing miracles. Some are claiming to have special powers to heal the sick, restore sight to the blind, give hearing to the deaf, and make the lame to walk. Others are claiming special gifts of wisdom, knowledge, prophecy, supernatural revelations from God. Now, no doubt, some supernatural events are taking place. But notice, the supernatural power is not from God. The reason we can safely say that it is supernatural power is not of God is because it either contradicts clear Bible truth, underline that, or in other cases is nowhere to be found in the Bible. We must be very clear about that, okay? People say, what's the big deal about you adhering so closely to the Bible? Because that's our sole authority. If people often ask me, well, where can I find what you believe? And I send them to our website. And on our website, we have a little tab that says what we believe. You click on that, it comes down our statement of faith. Now, it's pretty long, so it'll take you a while. But the first thing on there is the Bible, is our sole authority. That's why we do what we do. We come right back to the Bible. It's not what Grandpa said or Grandma said. It's what the Bible says, right? Okay, now, as we continue in that second paragraph, notice, Satan and his angels have supernatural power and are able to perform certain tricks to deceive the undiscerning mind. Now notice here, I have in the notes 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 9. Even him, whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received notice, not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. They rejected the gospel. Now, several verses here, parenthetical, I have Exodus chapter 7 and Exodus chapter 8. Now, you recall that. We don't have to turn there. But in particular, miracles were done. Now, notice, you remember Moses and Aaron went into Pharaoh? And what happened? God commanded Aaron to throw his rod down on the ground, which their rod back then was about a 7-foot tall rod. It was pretty big, depending on how tall they were. He threw it down on the ground. What happened? Well, it turned into a serpent, didn't it? Well, he looked over at the magicians, and Pharaoh gave the little, whatever, and they all threw their little sticks on the ground. They turned into snakes. So it is possible to perform miracles. But I love the best part. What's the best part? His snake comes over and swallows all the other snakes. And right there, I would have been like, okay, I'm on this guy's side here, right? So we understand and know that. Now, today, you look at this. There's people that go about and about. There's a couple magicians out there that are really good magicians. Have you seen these guys? And they'll stand on the street corner, and they can levitate off the ground, and they can do... You've seen the one... there's a lot of people that can do it, but they got that glass ball, and they do this, and it sits there and spins, and they're doing this with their hand, and they say, come over and do this. Make sure there's no strings attached, and there's nothing attached. I don't know how they're doing it. But there's a lot of that stuff going on. Now, just to say that there's a lot of things that go on in this world, and people say, oh, there's a supernatural work. Well, it's not always of God, right? Now, thinking about this, notice the third paragraph. Many today are being deceived. Some are true believers, ignorant of the truth. Woe be to us. Others are merely looking for excitement and a good feeling. Some are truly seeking the truth. Others are false teachers, bent on deceiving their followers so they might gain the advantage. God tells us to try the Spirit, see if they're of Him or from Him. This is very important. How do we try the spirits? Now, some try them by their own experiences. However, this is not safe. What I experience is not the proof of God's working. God's written word is proof of His working. Therefore, I must try the spirits with His written word. If my experience contradicts His word, then there is something wrong with my experience. I must believe His word. We're faced with this today. We can make the Bible say about anything we want to say. We can make our beliefs fit what God actually says in the Bible. Again, we won't get into all this, but you understand with Bible study, there's two types of it. There's something called the deductive method and the inductive method, meaning you can approach the Bible with preconceived beliefs. And I talk to people, and I don't know why so many believe this way, but they say, I know what the Bible says, but I know what I believe, and the Bible better match what I believe, or I'm going to throw the Bible out. Whether the other way is what? We approach the Bible and say, Lord, speak to me. I want to know what the Bible says. I grew up believing this. We have one dear lady in our church. And she's not here tonight. But she told me, she said, Brother Tim, I grew up this way. This is the church I grew up in. This is what I grew up believing. She said, but you know what? I want to know what the Bible says. And I said, amen. And she says, I've been coming to your church a while now, to this church, and I've been learning a lot more of the Bible. And that's what I commended her on that. I said, good, that's exactly what you need to come to, the Bible, and say, I want to know what the Bible says. Show me. Okay? Now again, as we see this, primarily in this tonight, we're going to see what the Bible has to say about spiritual gifts. Now, this last paragraph here, notice some of the most popular false teachings going about today are associated with the so-called charismatic movement. They include miracles of healing, being slain in the Spirit, speaking in tongues. But before we study, we'll look at the spiritual gifts God's given to the church today. Okay, so first of all, notice the spiritual gifts. The Bible lists two categories of these spiritual gifts. One is the permanent edifying gifts, and secondly is the temporary sign gifts. Okay? Now, the permanent edifying gifts are found in Romans, primarily Romans 12. There's some in 1 Corinthians 12 as well. But these are permanent. Okay? These are for us today. And by the way, every one of us should strive for these gifts. Okay? Some of you are good at giving. Others are good at mercy. Some of you are not good at mercy. You're not compassionate. You don't have any empathy for people. Others of you are up. You may be good at giving. You may be good at teaching. We all have natural gifts within us, but we also ought to strive for the gifts. Okay, so now secondly, notice letter B, the temporary sign gifts. Okay, now turn with me to Mark 16 real quick. Mark, the Gospel of Mark, turn back in your Bibles, Mark 16. And notice some that are mentioned of these temporary gifts. Mark 16, verse 17. Mark 16, 17. And these signs, now underline that word, shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. Okay? They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Okay? Now, what's the deal? How come we don't have those anymore? Well, here's the thing. Again, just to clarify, as we already mentioned, at this time, we did not have the completed canon of Scripture. We didn't have the Bible yet. There were books, obviously the Old Testament. We didn't have all of the New Testament yet. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John were all still writing. We have John, we have Peter, we have Jude, we have James. They were all still writing their book. So we didn't have the completed Scripture. So God gave or empowered these believers with the ability to do or perform miracles or signs for the unbelievers, and primarily the unbelieving Jews. That's why they did it. That's why you come to Acts chapter number 2 at the day of Pentecost. And we'll get into this a little next week. But people take the book of Acts, and by the way, we're studying the book of Acts in our Bible Institute. And you should come to that. Man, it's good stuff. But they take the book of Acts and they get all messed up with it. Why? Because Acts is a transitional book, right? Acts is there and the church has not hardly gotten off the ground yet. And they don't have the completed canon of Scripture. Now today for the church, we have the completed Bible. And that's what we come to. The Lord has spoken to us, Hebrews chapter 1. Spoken to us in these times by what? His Son. And His Son, S-O-N, is what? The Word of God, John chapter 1. Okay, you know that stuff. Now we see this here. These were temporary sign gifts. How many have seen the snake-handling churches? You've seen those? Those things are scary. And I would be so scared if I accidentally walked into one. You know? Welcome, brother. What size of snake do you want? I think I'm in the wrong one here. But I just recently saw one guy on the news, and one of these churches are primarily in the South. Well, he was handling a snake, and he got bit. It was a rattlesnake. They use rattlesnakes on purpose, you know. He got bit. His arm swole up, and he was in pain. They had him on. They were recording him. And they said, we got to take you to the hospital. And he said, no, the Spirit will heal me. I must have done something wrong. There's sin in my life that snake bit me. Well, the guy ended up half dead. I don't know what the result was, if he died or not. But I'm thinking about, what is it? It's a wrong interpretation of Scripture. Wrong. Now, we'll come back to this, Lord willing, I'm hoping to get to this, and don't take my word for it, okay? I'm hoping to get to it. But the subject of dispensations. We are in an age today of grace, or we call the church age. Now, God is dealing with us differently than He did the people at the end of the Gospel of Mark. Okay, now notice, anyways, let her be, these temporary sign gifts. One, these were signs to confirm the gospel. Well, how did they do that? They cast out devils. They performed miracles. They healed the sick. They spoke in new tongues. Interpretation of tongues was another gift. They took up serpents, drank poison without hurt, prophecy, discerning of spirits, word of wisdom, word of knowledge. Now notice here Hebrews chapter 2. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? That's Hebrews 2 verse 3. Which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, notice this now, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard Him. God also bearing them witness with what? Both with signs and wonders and diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to His own will. Now notice these were to confirm the message of salvation. Again, on the day of Pentecost, they were standing there, as you recall, in Acts chapter number 2, and the Holy Spirit had come down and given them the gift of tongues. By the way, we're going to look at this next week, but known languages. It wasn't mumbo jumbo. I've been in a church like that before. Pentecostal Charismatic Church. They're all over the place. Just speaking all kinds of stuff. Oh, that's a heavenly language. Well, not according to the Scripture. 1 Corinthians 14 lays it down pretty clearly. Well, they were standing there. They got a language. And they're standing there, and one of the apostles is looking around, and all of a sudden he says, hey, ¿qué pasa, mi amigos? ¿Cómo se llama? And they said, what did you just say? I don't know, man. And there's a bunch of group over there from Mexico and say, hey, what'd you say? And my wife is trying to teach me Spanish, and she's about to strangle me. She is so sick and tired of it. She's like, would you just be quiet already? I'm like, I'm just trying. And there's certain words, you know, you have to pronounce right, and I keep saying a curse word. I keep saying a bad word. And she keeps saying, stop saying that. I said, I'm just trying to say it, you know. I don't know what to say. But that's exactly what happened. And one guy was given a language for the reason of what? Sharing the gospel. Okay, you know that. Notice number two here under that. These ceased when the New Testament was complete. Now I have in the notes, notice 1 Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 8. And he says there, charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail, or meaning by that, ceasing. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. Okay. But when that which is perfect is come, or complete, that word perfect means complete, then that which is in part shall be done away. When he speaks of this, the New Testament came, it is perfect, it is complete, the signs ceased. So that's just one reference, we'll see. Okay, now we solved that. Now turn the page, and I want you to notice, we're going to look at, first of all tonight, the faith healers. I have an accent on that, the healers. The faith healers, right? Now we see this, and I want to clarify, because there's a lot of fellas out there today that claim to be faith healers. There's one fella, no, there's two of them, just recently, real famous, real prominent. I won't say their name, I'll be nice, but real famous, and guess what? They got sick. And one of them started having heart problems. He had to go in and get some stents put in or something. Well, guess what all the comments were on his social media? Physician, heal thyself. That's what Jesus said. Why don't you heal yourself? Well, guess what he replied with? Well, no, I can't do that. I can't do that. And they said, well, why not? And these are heartfelt, real people, legitimate people trying to be encouraging. You know, why not? Well, I can't because I don't have that gift. I can heal everyone else, but I can't heal myself. Have you ever thought about this for a minute? I'm not trying to be offensive, but why don't these Cracker Jacks go to St. Jude Hospital and heal all of the little precious babies that have cancer? I don't know why. And guess what? Because they've been asked that 1,000 times. Oh, I don't have that special gift, but I can slap people on the forehead and have them knock over and start acting and barking like a dog. I mean, it's ridiculous, isn't it? Now think, I'm just trying to clarify for you tonight exactly what the Bible says. We must go by what the Bible says. Now, many people, notice the first paragraph, through the past centuries made claims of having the gift of healing. Okay? Today, there are witch doctors using their fetishes, psychic healers supposedly doing bloodless surgery, some even claiming to raise the dead. The occult is full of claims of miraculous healings through the use of black magic. And there are people today claiming to have the biblical gift of healing. They claim some special power from God to be able to pray for people, to lay hands on people and heal them. Now again, I'm not trying to be harsh in this, but the Bible is very clear for us in the book of James especially. If one of you were to come to us and say, Brother Tim, I just got diagnosed this morning. What do we do? We would have you come forward and we would all get around you and put our hands on you and pray for you. We wouldn't do any mumbo jumbo, none of that. We would pray. That's what's given to the church today, prayer. And we believe prayer works, don't you? Prayer truly works. That's what we're told to do. But for us to make a big show and do all that these fellas do on television and social media is unbiblical. Now notice the charismatics seem to be leading the religious claims of this power today. Constantly we're bombarded with these claims on TV, special meetings, we could say social media. It almost becomes a contest as to who has the greatest experience. The question is, do they have the biblical gift of healing? Is this power available today? Is it in the list of temporary sign gifts we find? Now, we're going to look at this here. Consider the gift of healing as it was given and used in the Bible. If these who are claiming the gift today are actually true, they will meet these qualifications. Underline that in your notes. They will meet these qualifications. Okay. First of all, those possessing the gift. Well, obviously, we know it was the Lord Jesus Christ, number one. I apologize. For sake of those watching online, let me read these verses here, the references at least. Matthew 8, verse 7, Matthew 8, 13 and 16, Matthew 9, 35. Number two, the apostles, Luke 9, we see it primarily Luke 9, you can read through that. Paul was later included in that. Number three, the 70 that were sent out in Luke chapter 10. Number four, some close to the apostles like Barnabas in Acts 15, 12. Philip in Acts 8, verse 6, and Stephen in Acts 6, verse 8. So these were those that possessed these gifts. That's what I'm talking about. Notice letter B, though, the purpose of the gift was to first provide or prove that Jesus came from God. That was John 5, 36 and John 20, verse 30. to prove that the apostles were sent by God, Hebrews 2, verse 3 and 4, and 3, to prove the word until the New Testament came, as we already looked at in Mark 16, and verse 20. Okay? And so we see, letter C, the use of the gift. There's 6 prominent characteristics in both the Lord's healing ministry and that of the apostles. Notice this. They healed, first of all, they healed instantaneously. You remember the lady that came to Jesus and said, if I would but touch the hem of his garment, my blood issue will be healed. And she had an issue of blood. It primarily had to do with, you know, lady issues and other things. She had some problems. And as soon as she touched his hem, immediately in her body, what happened? She knew she was healed. Now, I don't know exactly what happened, whatever it was, but Jesus said, who touched me, right? So it was instantaneous. Notice, secondly, they healed organic diseases. Okay, they were able to heal. Luke 5, 18 and 25, Acts 3, verse 2, they healed everybody. These faith healers today don't heal everybody. You have to get on the waiting list, right? Just recently, one of the fellas, they got in trouble. It was probably about 15 or so years ago. They got in trouble. The guy wears a microphone like I wear, you know, right here. And all the guys have these kind of microphones. And so they would tell each other, you know, they had the CIA thing. Hey, this guy coming up in the red shirt, he's going to come up on stage. And when he does, he's already been trained or told that when you do that, just hit him on the forehead, he'll fall over. Well, one of their mics got connected somehow to the overhead speakers, and all of the conversation came over the whole church. And sure enough, everything happened like they said. Okay. Anyways, I thought that was funny. Okay. The purpose of the gift, okay? The use of the gift. So they were able to heal everybody. Notice number 4 under that, they healed by word or touch. Matthew 8, Matthew 9, Acts 9, you can look those up. They healed, notice number 5, totally. Totally. When they healed, when Jesus healed, when the apostles, it was complete. And number 6, they healed ultimately. It was complete. Never came back. I'm sure if you talk to those people, primarily in the Mark chapter 5, is a lady with the issue of blood and other people, Jairus with his son and daughter, whatever happened there. They would say, no, it never came back. A lot of these people say, well, he healed me at this church event, but it did come back, or he never really did it. I don't know what it is. So we understand and see the use of the gift. This is exactly what it was for, and this is what happened. There is one outstanding fact that is in both the healing ministry of the Lord and also in that of the apostles. They were able to use their gift at will. They could heal anyone, anytime they wanted to. These fellas, you can't. You have to come to their church at the designated hour, and you got to wait in line, and when your number's called, then you can come. No, they came to Jesus. He would heal them anytime, anywhere he wanted to, right? He had that power. He had the power. I'm just trying to get at today. We don't have that gift. It was temporary. Letter D, the test for those claiming the gift today. None of them can prove healing organic diseases instantly and totally by word or touch. They can't prove it. None of them can heal everybody, as I already mentioned. Why don't they go to the hospitals? Why don't they go to the nursing homes? None of them can raise the dead. By the way, it was one of the distinguishing marks. Jesus did it on several occasions, didn't he? And we looked at that in our Bible Institute. He talked about that. They came to there and he touched the casket of the boy and he rose up. Well, anyways, he could raise the dead. So notice the last paragraphs, I should say, on this page. Charismatic healings, quote unquote, are based on wrong theology of the atonement and salvation. They claim the promise given in Isaiah and teach that no believer is to remain sick. The promise of healing given in Isaiah was fulfilled in our Lord's earthly ministry in Isaiah 53. You can read all that. Matthew 8, verse 16. Again, so the last paragraph there, charismatic healers seem to need their own special environment in which to work. They do not go to the hospitals to heal the sick. They cannot heal everybody. They get sick themselves. They die. A great deal, notice the next page, a confusion, contradiction surrounds what is happening. This is not of God. Now, how do we know that? Okay, 1 Corinthians 14 says clearly, verse 33, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. And he says there, let all things be done decently and in order in verse 40.
So those claiming to have the gift of healing today do not have such a gift. And if they do not have what they are claiming to have, they are liars and frauds. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 13. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves, notice, into the apostles of Christ. And then he says this, no marvel, no shock. For Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Again, he's seeking, how do you get and confuse Bible-believing people? Well, you don't show up in a red suit with a pitchfork. You do it as an angel of light. I'm here to minister to you. I'm here to perform miracles. I'm here to present to you the gospel, the word of God. Yet they're deceitful. And we have distinguishing marks that we'll look at later in the Bible to tell us who they are. By the way, Jesus said they'll come sheep in what? Wolves' clothing. Well, how do we determine that? Notice, the only way to determine a sheep in wolves' clothing is by their fruit. So that means they're so well disguised, they look like grandma, they smell like grandma, but my, what big teeth you have, grandma. Remember that, Little Red Riding Hood? Wow. They're so well disguised, and they infiltrate the local church. Well, how do we know, Brother Tim, if there's wolves among us? By their fruit. What are they producing spiritually? By the way, a Christian that produces no spiritual fruit, you ought to start questioning. Something's wrong. Something's off. Maybe they're not saved. You have a desire to produce spiritual fruit. And again, I encourage you to look it up. Galatians chapter 5 speaks of some of the fruits of the Spirit that we should be producing. Okay, now let's look at this last part. Sickness is very real and can be very devastating to us today. When God sends sickness our way, how does He want us to deal with it? Okay, if we don't seek for divine healing, how does He want us? We must learn the facts and act accordingly. So number one, He is absolute control of all diseases. The Lord promised Israel if they would obey Him, the Lord would take away all sicknesses and will put none of the diseases of Egypt, which thou knowest, upon thee, but will lay them upon all them that hate thee. Now that's Deuteronomy 7:15, and I just read a book on that. That phenomenal book. Have you read that yet, brother? He hasn't got to it yet. Man, it's a great book. And it talks about that. The diseases that were going on in Egypt because of bad sanitation and immorality. And I had all these diseases. A lot of the same diseases we have reoccurring today in the world. They're nothing new. They're nothing new, this new variant, this new thing. It's always been. And God told the nation of Israel what to do by way of sanitation. When you go out to relieve yourself, you dig a hole, cover it up. Pardon my vulgar language there, but why? For sanitation. None of them did that in those big cities like Egypt. And what happened? All kinds of diseases came in, didn't it? All kinds. And it comes back to the fact of if we'll follow the Word of God following that. But anyways, God has control over the diseases, right? Thinking about this. Number two, there's several ways that God uses sickness for our good. It could be a means of chastening for correction or training. If we're not walking with the Lord and serving Him properly and walking in His will, He may use sickness to get our attention. And I've talked to many saints of the Lord, and precious saints, but they'll admit that. Well, you know, God got my attention through this illness or something. It could be a means of humbling for service. How many saints of the past have lived through horrific things? I think about a girl by the name of Amy Carmichael. If you've never read some of her stuff, it's really good stuff. But she lived many, many years ago, but she lived with a disease. I can't recall the disease, but she had physical pain every day of her life, every day. And this was before, you know, modern medicine. Every day of her life, yet she wrote some of the sweetest poems about Christ and other material. A lady by the name of Fanny Crosby, you know who she is. She wrote a lot of our hymns. Born blind, never saw anybody, and I love her testimony. They came to her and said this often, how can you serve Christ so faithfully when He allowed you to be born blind? That's no God that loves you. And she said, no, it is. He did it so that the first face I'll ever see is Jesus Christ. Isn't that wonderful? She woke up in heaven and said, oh, so that's what a man looks like. That's what Christ looks like. So you think about it, humbling for service. Let her see as means of death. I know it's a shock to us, but one day we're going to die. And the Lord will allow maybe disease to get us home quicker. Amen? We get to get home quicker. Those I talked to a fellow a while back, and he hadn't got married yet.
Man, he said, well, I hope the Lord don't take me home, or I hope he doesn't return before I get married. I want to get married first. You know? Those of us that have been married for a while, we see, okay, yeah, we still believe that. Okay, always seek him first. As I read, let me conclude here. James 5, verse 14. Is any sick among you? Well, yeah. Let him call for the elders of the church. Let him pray over him, anointing him with the oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, he shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another. Pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Okay. I have here, we must not make the mistake that Asa made. King Asa was diseased in his feet until his disease was exceeding great, it says. Yet in his disease, he sought not to the Lord, but to the physicians. Now again, it's not wrong to go to the doctor. We must go to the Lord first, though. When God chooses to heal our sickness, he can do it so directly if he wants. But in most cases, he uses the natural healing process built into the body, along with doctors and medicines, to do so. Again, I encourage you, your physicians or something, always say this, well, let me pray about it first. And they'll be shocked, first of all, but they'll say, no, we need to get this treatment right away. Well, no, let me pray about it first. I want to know what the Lord wants me to do, obviously, in those areas. So we must not be deceived. We must help others who are being deceived. It makes absolutely no difference what experience one has. If it's contrary to the Bible, it's not of God. We must try the spirits whether they are of God. Okay? All right. So we'll see that. Hopefully, Lord willing, we'll continue a little bit next week because I want to get into speaking in tongues. And look at that. Another area is being slain in the spirit. And maybe some of you have heard about that. I've talked to people that ask me that. Have you been slain in the spirit yet, brother? And I say, no, I'm filled with the Holy Spirit every day. And they say, well, no. Are you slain in the spirit? How many have heard of that before? You've heard of that? Several of you have, yeah. So we're going to look at that. Is that biblical? Is that right? And look at several other things with that. Okay, I hope that was a help to you. Again, no way am I presenting any of this to be any kind of be harsh or hateful or mean to any of these types of folks. Our goal is to reach them with the gospel and the truth. And I just want to do that. I want to share with them the Bible. Say, do you know the Bible? And understanding the scriptures, okay? I'll stop there tonight. Thank you for listening so well. Lord, thank you for an opportunity to share your word again. I know there's a lot of information here. I pray you'd help us to go home and look these verses up. Help us to cross-reference verses, to build scripture upon scripture. We know that no scripture contradicts. We know that it is cohesive. You've written it. The Holy Spirit has given it and spoken through man to write the words. We thank you for it. We thank you for the gifts you've given to us that we can then, Lord, edify the church and be a blessing to each other and obviously expand the kingdom and reach others for Christ. But help us, Lord, as we reach out to folks like this and many other denominations that we've looked at already with the wonderful news of the gospel. Help us to know our Bibles and spend time with you. We thank and love you. Bless the rest of our week for your honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.